You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock on the dot, and next is Keeping It Real. You might be tuning in for Hard Knock Radio, but this is new since last month, every first Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
On Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will be hosting a Valentine's Day special. We will be reading your Valentine's shoutouts to your friends and loved ones. So whether you are locked up or your loved one is, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention, Prison Pipeline. An email is kboppc@gmail.com. Then tune in and have your loved one tune in on Monday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read live.
On Friday, February 3rd, 2017, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m., from the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary, we'll agitate with the music of Frankie Beverly and Maze. Local and national political commentary provided by Landon Crowell. We will review Mayor Ted Wheeler's first 30 days in office. And musical analysis provided by our art historian, Diane Johnson. From the Grassroots on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
Of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the back, all alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design.
What's going on, Portland? Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real with your boy, Aron.
And Nick Deasy.
Today we got a lot to talk about. A lot has happened within this last month in Portland, in the United States, and around the world. And so today we're going to take this time and we're going to share that with you. So Nick Deasy, why don't you tell the fans a little bit about yourself?
I'm 17, high school student at POIC, graduating this year. I live in St. John's.
In St. John's neighborhood?
Yeah, what about you?
Why don't you tell everybody your address so they can come visit you? My name is Aron. I am a teacher at Rosemary Anderson High School. I'm also a mentor and a coach. I work at Boys and Girls Club as well. And in my free time, I like to do this radio show. So we're here today, and we're going to get on with our show. We're going to talk about the news first, right, Nick? So the first thing we're going to talk about is your boy, Donald Trump.
No, not my boy. Not my boy.
Well, let's address him as President Trump. This last month, he was inaugurated as the president, and ever since, has it been 2 weeks now? Right? About 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so within those 2 weeks, he's already signed 18 executive orders.
18
of them, right? But the most controversial ones were, of course, the one we're going to talk about today. So let's start with the one that's closest to my heart, which is the ban that he placed on refugees from certain countries like Yemen, which was the country I came from. Syria, we had, he put Iraq on there. Plenty more countries, right? It was a total of 7 of them. What did you think about that?
I thought it was whack. I said a lot, like, stuff's whack. But when I say this, man, it's like we're built on people coming from everywhere. And so mm-hmm. banning that is, like, one of the worst things I've seen.
Right. It violates human rights, to be honest. Most of these countries are in the situations that they're in because of the U.S. going in there and messing with them in the first place. All these people that are displaced, they're not necessarily coming here to harm us. They're running away from harm that's happening to them at home. To me, it's very inhumane to kick people out of a country or to ban people and call them illegal as if they're not human. The very simple instinct is to care for each other, right? That's the rule of being humane and just to others is to allow them to come in and to build a life, right? I think that in the very core of that legislation itself, we are doing a disservice to people because America was built on based on immigrants coming here, running away from prosecution for their religion and running away from the king and the pope, and they came here and now it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, you know? I've always thought, how can someone be illegal to? We're on this earth to live, like on the land we're put on the land to live, and how can someone be illegal on a part of a land that we're supposed to live on?
Exactly. And, you know, can I read you what my brother wrote on Instagram? Can I read you what he wrote? He wrote, like, this really nice post. Shout out to my brother, Simone Andu. Go follow him on Instagram. A great mind. He got a big head, though, just to let y'all know. Here's what my brother wrote. I think that refugees deserve more than our sympathy and even protests. A refugee is a person who has been forced to leave their country in order to escape war, prosecution, or natural disaster. It is time that we start to understand the conditions of those who cannot return to their land in life. Why are there wars on their doorsteps? Who invaded their land? Is it really Islam? If so, why are many refugees Muslims? And why do they continue to advocate for their faith, upholding the laws of their religion, even when they are facing these tremendous obstacles? We can easily point fingers at the refugees, but didn't we easily forget that our funds, military equipment, soldiers, weapons, laws, media, politicians, interests, ignorance, and the public distractions for over 50 years caused those who inhabited some of the oldest cities in the world to run away, abandon their jewels? The people of Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, Sudan, etc., did not run from history, tradition, culture, faith, beauty, ancient knowledge, architecture, and art because they loved to relocate. They escaped a certain death they did not welcome or understood. In these times, it is beautiful to see everyone standing together in the face of injustice, the humanity, the tolerance of the American people that makes this nation great. But greatness also requires for the people of that nation to be informed, educated, and understand that foreign and domestic policies of their representatives. We must understand why our fellow humans become refugees and why they cannot return to rebuild their broken homes. Now, there is power in that, I believe. You know, I think that, you know, my brother is obviously a very conscious man. And I say obviously because I know him and I know the work he does in the community and the advocate, you know, he's a real big advocate. So, you know, his words are powerful, and it makes you think about, you know, some of the things that we go through, right? It makes you think about some of the ways that we interact with each other and some of the ways we've been thinking about each other lately as a nation, correct?
Yeah.
And then I understand that you also found an article that if was an effect of this policy as well, right? About that baby.
Oh, yeah. Before that, I want to go back on you saying your brother has a big head. Like you said about everybody, just because you got little ears and a little head, don't mean everybody got a big head.
People don't know that. You would point that out.
I was on Facebook, I think it was this weekend, and I read that a little girl, she had needed a surgery, and it was like she needed it as soon as possible, and they were flying here. And they were they was getting their paperwork in line. They was flying to, I think it was Dubai, to get a traveler's visa or something. And they canceled it.
Okay. So how did that make you feel when you read that article?
It was like that's a baby that needs life surgery for her life, you know, like she could lose her life. And so they're gonna ban them from getting that and coming here for life surgery. And it's, I don't know, because I know if I had a kid and I was in that situation, I'd be hurting. Like, right. They were coming to OHSU.
Right, so that's in our backyard.
Yeah.
Do you think that baby causes a threat to us?
Not in no ways.
Exactly, and so, you know, I think that these laws, when made so broad, they could be interpreted in so many different ways. But the reality is there are a lot of people who seek, like, medical treatments in the United States because of how good, you know, the facilities are in medicine and, like, how advanced it is here, you know? So I understand, coming from a third world country, how the medical conditions were there. And I understand the power in coming to a Western country to get treatment. Sometimes you're facing a certain death if you have a certain condition in those countries, but it's easily treatable here, you know? So I wish that was taken into consideration as well before something like this was passed, right? Another piece of another controversial executive order from Trump was the wall on Mexico. That was going to take funding using whose tax money?
And I also read somewhere that they would charge like 120, I don't know if it was true, like 120 per household.
Wow.
And that's all it would take is 120 per household to build that wall. And I was like, wow, like.
How do you, you have.
Not my 120.
Right. You have ties to Mexico, right? Your father.
Yeah, my father and his wife and whoever else lives down there.
So you have ties to Mexico, and so how do you feel about that wall?
I plan on going there this summer after I graduate to meet them for the first time. But I feel Trump's doing this, so that's gonna kind of put us at a, like, not a war, but in a bad place with Mexico. And so I feel being an American down there, they're gonna look at me and see my skin's light, and I don't know if I'm gonna get kidnapped or whatever they want to do, you know, like thinking that I'm part of that.
Right. So you fear for your own safety because of laws like this that make Americans sound like bad people when in reality is a certain few, right? That's very interesting to me because I feel like that's the type of stuff that causes division. You know, that's the kind of stuff that causes hate. When you look at one of my favorite athletes, Candace Parker, she went to Camp Auschwitz recently and she posted on her Instagram. Yes, I am a fan of Instagram. She posted this, a very powerful comment, and she talked about how the German soldiers, the Nazi soldiers at the time, were brainwashed. They were just, you know, executing orders. Whatever their leaders told them, they did, right? They didn't think about what humanity asks of them, right? And I understand that it's a different times now and that we live in a different situation. But historically, people have been manipulated by powerful, you know, by more powerful people. And that's how heinous acts such as the genocides or the Holocaust occurred, right?
Like once you dehumanize somebody, it's
then it's easy to kill them, right? And it once you take away that, once you throw that label on somebody, like a terrorist or, you know, a racial slur, you're dehumanizing people, you know? And in return, you cause that hate and that separation. One a very powerful line that Candace Parker said was that those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. I'm gonna let that sink in for a second. Those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it, which means that you have to be very careful to not let people in power positions manipulate you, right? We have the power to critically think about things, right? We have our own brains. We have our own opinions for a reason. And so I guess what I was getting at is that at the end of the day, everybody has their own agenda, right? But let's not forget that we are all here, you know, sharing the same land. We are all here as one kind. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have, right? At the end of the day, you're human. And that's in the simplest form. And you have to respect the earth you live in. You have to respect the environment. You have to respect people like you. You have to respect animals, right? You have to respect everything around you. There is a flow to things. But to go back to environment, he passed he made an executive order with the pipelines, with the oil pipelines in Little Rock, or Standing Rock. Sorry, I've been corrected. Thank you, Delphine. Right? At Standing Rock. So, how does that make you feel? People were protesting for a long time, right? People were maced. People were
slammed.
Yeah, people were, you know, there was force used against those people. And they felt so strong about their native land. This is their right that's being stomped on by this executive order. How do you feel about
that? That's like having someone come into your house and say that we got to put these pipelines through your house, and, you know, they got to dig up that land, and, you know, that could mess it up, you know, like there could be houses there.
Right.
Or certain things that they do there, you know, like.
Yeah, it's a sacred land. It's a sacred native land.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he signed two orders, okay? So two orders reviving the Keystone XL pipeline and the Dakota Access pipeline, right? And then he signed three more orders expediting environmental permitting processes, right? So for people who wanted to go in there and to build those pipelines, he signed those orders in order for their permits to be expedited, which means they're going to give them permits faster to build those lands, right? Does that man care about the environment? Like,
I don't know.
Does that man not care about the Native Americans who own the land? Like, have we not done enough to them?
I feel it's... With how much money he has, nothing's ever going to be that bad for him. Like us, like we have to, like we're going to have to struggle, or if you lose your job, or, you know, get in a car accident or break your phone, you might go without a phone. That man's never going to go out without nothing. He's got so much money that nothing is ever going to affect him like that. So I feel he doesn't see how everyone else is seeing it with the land, and he just doesn't have values like that.
All right. And, you know, I came across some more interesting news. In South Dakota, the people in South Dakota voted to basically for tougher ethic laws, right? South Dakota is the only state where lobbyists can give politicians undisclosed gifts, right? So that means funding for their campaigns. Nobody has to know about those gifts, right? Which is illegal now, right? In pretty much every other state but in South Dakota. So the people of South Dakota voted. They supported Trump, but majority. But at the same time, they voted for those laws. Then the lawmakers in South Dakota voted. They want to repeal that, which is funny to me. That's a dilemma to me, right? Because I feel like they got caught, and now they're kind of trying to cover their tracks in a way, you know? So I thought that was an interesting piece of news. And then in our backyard, in North Portland, right, you found a very important article, right? And that has to do with what?
Students. I'm just reading the top of the article.
Okay.
North Portland apartment building with 59 public school students has begun issuing no cause evictions.
Hmm. So no cause evictions.
Yeah. Hey, this is Delphine. Can I jump in on this?
Oh, please.
Nick and
do.
I were discussing this article. Yeah. I mean, this is just part of like the housing crisis that's happening in Portland, and I think it's outrageous because what's the name again of the apartment complex, Nick?
The apartment complex was called the Titan Manor.
Right, and so. The people who own that apartment complex, they sold it, and the new developer, they are wanting to, you know, revamp the apartment. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they're just evicting everybody who lives there. And they're not asking people, they're not telling people, hey, we just sold, you need to move. But they actually are giving them eviction notices. It's like a no-fault eviction, which means like it's you're not being evicted because you didn't pay rent or things like this. But what happened is still ends up on your background check. So whenever you go to rent the next apartment, then it's going to show up that you've had an eviction on, you know, your paperwork. So right. Therefore, lots of families, and this has been a conundrum like for the last 2 years, there's been families that have been houseless for those reasons. They've been, you know, kicked out with no cause evictions. So right.
And what's a way to combat that, Delphine?
Well, I don't know, man. Tough. Well, I mean, I think that some of the things, you know, that Portland has been trying to do is definitely become active around changing some of the laws so that wouldn't be possible anymore. But all that we've been able to do so far around the activists have been able to pass a law that you need to get, people need 3 months notice mm-hmm. versus 1 month. So that's definitely is a win, but it still, you know, creates those same situations. So I think, you know, one of the main thing that we can do is really talk to our new mayor and talk to the people at, you know, the housing, what's the name of the, I can't believe you know, organization that works around housing that's, you know, a public, you know, part of the city and definitely, you know, go out and make your voice heard, you know, call your representatives, etc.
Right.
And also, you know, if you are a KBOO person and or, you know, KBOO is a place where you feel, you know, you trust what's happening for sure, you know, connect with our news department, etc. and try to find ways that you can share some of your stories also on
right.
the air.
Thank you so much, Delphine. And we're going to shortly take a break. And so until we cue the song that Nick Dizzy has gotten ready for you, I just want to ask the people, and you guys can call in to the station and give us your opinion. How do you feel about the political arena today? Once again, here's the question. How do you feel about the political arena today? We are going to take a short break, and then we're going to get back to you, and we'll tell you how you can get a hold of us.
This is called being highest. For hours. That's the name of this song. For hours. Here we go. Yeah.
American hypocrisy, oh let me count the ways. They came here seeking freedom, then they end up owning slaves. Justified to use the Christianity which says religion don't mean there's too much ego in the way. That's why ISIS is a crisis. But in reality, this country do the same. Take a life and call it righteous. Remember when Bin Laden got killed, supposedly, in the hotel lobby after a show. Was noticing these white ladies watching CNN covering the action. They read the headline and then they all started clapping. As if LeBron had just scored a basket at the buzzer. I stood there for a second, watched them high five each other. For real? I thought this was thou shalt not kill. But police still letting off on us in the field. Claiming that he reached for a gun. They really think we dumb and got a death wish. Now somebody's son is laying breathless. When I was a little boy, my father lived in Texas. Pulled up in Toyota, drove that like it was Lexus. Put my bag in his trunk and headed off for Dallas. Out there for the summer feeling just like I was Alice. Lost in the wonderland when still suffering just like they was back home, and that's wrong. So now the government, they see my struggling and they don't give a f- at all, and that's wrong, yeah. Type of make you wanna. Type of make you wanna let go. Type of make you wanna.
This was High for Hours by J. Cole. Once again, this was High for Hours by J. Cole, one of my favorite artists. He talks about a lot of the issues that we're going through today. Joe's on the line. Okay, so Joe, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to pass along a correction to something I heard someone make a very specific point about when it comes to no-cause evictions, and that it still shows up on your record as an eviction. And that's actually not the case, but it doesn't change the fact that it means you have to leave and all the financial and emotional repercussions that come with that.
Right. How do you feel about that?
Because it sounded like you guys are talking about the limited laws around all of that stuff. That tomorrow at City Hall downtown, City Council is meeting and is going to be voting on a very important tenant protection that would attach moving costs to any time a landlord uses one of these no-cause termination notices, it's more technically called, I think, to get rid of people. And it would also apply to when a tenant has to move because a rent increase of 10% or more makes it unaffordable for them. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Thank you so much, Joe. Once again, it's at
2 p.m. City 2
p.m.
Council,
all right.
Show up there. Landlords, their lobby, all of the people who make money off of this housing crisis are going to be down there, and they're going to be talking about how this is going to hurt tenants and how it's bad for the housing system. But we need to come down there and show City Council that this city, you know, isn't just made of property owners.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Joe. And you guys heard it first from Joe. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the City Council, let your voice be heard. Our powers have always been in our numbers. So if you want to change the situation, be there and voice your opinion. You have a voice and it matters. Now back to my question. How do you feel about the political arena today? You could call in at 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and we'll be more than happy to have that conversation with you. Now, Nick Dizzy, I'm going to take this on to a different pathway for us. We've been a little serious today, so I was wondering, what shows are you watching lately?
I forget what it's called, but it's just a bunch of women in prison.
Oh, Orange is the New Black?
Nah, it's a one of them like reality shows or what you call it. Women in lockup or women on lockdown, something.
Okay.
And it's just following them and their struggles and going through. There are some dudes on there too, but I don't know. It just turned on and I just kept watching it.
Okay, so that's one thing you've been watching?
Yeah.
Okay. What have you learned from that show?
That I don't want to go to jail.
You don't want to go to jail? Yeah, definitely not.
This is never going to be the plan.
Definitely not.
Yeah, what shows have you been watching?
Man, I've been watching Game of Thrones. I like that show a lot.
Weird.
Hey, it's a good show. It's a good show.
Isn't it a game?
I think it might be a game. I don't know. I just seen the show, man, and I got caught up in it. It was like by accident. I didn't even plan on watching it. I just stumbled upon an episode with my brother, and then next thing I know, I watched all the 6 seasons. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of watching TV, and I've been watching Quantico, and a lot of other shows. Yeah, they have some pretty interesting ones. Yeah. So Nick Dizzy, I know that you had a piece that you did for school with Delphine that, you know, I just wanted to hear about it. I'm not asking you to play it or anything. I just wanted to know, what was that about and what inspired that?
Trying to graduate, extra credit. I'm not going to lie, we put that together with some other papers. And I don't know, I was thinking about doing an audio story like the Anyways to play on here. It's just about growing up, knowing that when I was like probably 7 or 8, I really started to see that like all my friends had parent-teacher conferences. They was having like moms and dads showing up, basketball games, all that. Their dads were showing up, and I was like, I never really got that I didn't have one. I just knew I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, how do I say it? Like, I knew I didn't have one, but I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
And so now I'm 17, about to be 18, like 4 months.
Yeah, that's coming fast.
4 months and 15 days.
Uh-oh.
I can never get that time back of growing up without a father, but at the same time, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now.
Right.
And that's where it comes in. I give a big thank you to my mom and even my grandma and grandpa, because they made me who I am today. And I could, you know, it sucks that I'm not going to get that time back of not having a father, but right, growing up, who taught me how to be a man and respect women and, you know, be a good person was my grandpa. Like, he showed me how to be a man like that. And so I'm thankful for that, because that's the only dad I'm going to ever know.
Right, right. And so I guess my thing is, so my father also grew up without his father, but for different reasons. My dad's father passed when he was 3. And so he was raised by his mom. And, you know, talking with him, he always said that, you know, he became a man really early. That was the outcome of not having his dad around. But he was also... It made him appreciate the power of a mother a lot more, right?
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, how has that, like, how do you think that changed your mindset?
It made it that I knew he left before I was ever born, but now I see, even I saw it a couple years ago, probably when I was, you know, 12, 13, that when people's married or in a relationship and they have a kid, or even without, like, the guy's always got to protect the girl that he's with and everything. And so I've always seen that, like, I have to protect my mom and take care of her and everything. And it made me really appreciate having a mom, because I know I've taken it for granted before, but if she wasn't there, I wouldn't be who I am today. And
right,
I don't know, it's an emotional thing to me to know that I had my mom. She could have gave me up for adoption, knowing that she had to do it alone, but she didn't.
Right. She so, kept you for a reason. I'm glad she kept you. I know that much. You know, for those of you who don't know Nick, he is one of the most caring people you guys will come across. You know, don't start crying. Hold it in. But no, honestly, I have had the privilege to work with Nick for almost 2 years now. You know, last year he would always mess with me in class, but he's been really good as a student, as an individual, very kind-hearted person, has a strong sense of conscience. Like, he's the type of person that wouldn't, you know, like, hurt a fly. So very intelligent young man. So I'm pretty sure you got, you know, I'm sure you got a great road ahead of you. But you still think you're funny, and I don't know about all of that.
Can I also jump in and talk about Nick and how amazing he is?
Yeah,
this is
please
Delphine.
Do.
Well, thank you, Aron, for and Nick for just sharing, you know, your thought about growing up without a father. I was, you know, just very honored to be able to hear you know, your thoughts and opinions before others, because I listen to your audio piece. And what I want to say about you is not only that you are caring, but you are one of the most like trustworthy person that I have met. I think as young people, we sometimes like have a lot of choices and we don't always make the right choice. Nick, I feel every time that, you know, I'm around you, you think a lot and you always try to, you know, think about the trust and the relationships you have with people, and you really honor that. So, you know, I'm very honored to be your friend, and, you know, I learned from you a lot about how to be a good friend and how to trust people. So, thank you.
Thank you, Delphine. Thank you.
My mom's listening right now. Thank you to everyone who's listening. I actually got a text from her right after I said how long I was until I'm 18. She said, stop counting down. I'm not in a hurry to grow up. Aron, how do you think it would have been, how it's affected you growing up with a father in the way that you've been taught?
I think growing up with a father, I'd say my father was one of those parents who was very hands-on since an early age. He never limited my growth, you know? He still doesn't till today. Anything I want to do, he'll push me towards it, if anything. Of course, they have the same, is it safe, you know, mentality as every parent, because they want to make sure that, you know, they want you to succeed, but they don't want to see you fall and get hurt, you know? It's the same idea. But he has always taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to respect people. He taught me how to treat my elders, my youngers, my youngins. One thing I really liked to see about my dad was the fact that he was for the community, for people. He, in Yemen at the time, number one, we were, you know, we were immigrants there as well. And he would bring in people to our house and like feed them. He would do, he would help them with their medical needs. He was a pharmacist, and he also had medical skills that he acquired during his service in the war in Eritrea. And so he would bring people to our house and he would treat them for free. He would take care of them. And we were his little helpers, you know. So I think I learned a lot from that experience as well. We have Adam. Okay. How you doing, Adam?
Aiden.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was it?
A-I-D-E-N.
Aiden. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit. I try to do a lot of activism, and I have a channel on YouTube, and I've been talking to a couple of people at the station, and it's important that people realize that this is a point in history. This is what's happening. It's crucial that people realize the importance of getting involved, of doing the best that you can to be able to cause positive change, because we really, really, really need it right now. One of the things that I noticed is that a lot of people in our community don't think that our rights are in jeopardy.
Right.
Because of all the wrong information, or the lack of information, actually, that there is out there. And so it's, you know, one of the things that I see is that there's a lot of people that support the new administration that are actually pro-equality, but they don't think that we need help.
Right.
And so I created a video, and I think, you know, it's hard to get through to them, but I still believe that we can all come together, you know.
Right. How could people find that video? What's the information about it for our listeners?
It's called Thank You Trump Supporters, and it's under my channel, Aiden Vargas. And I did it because, I mean, one of the people that I work with, my regular job, he voted for Trump, and we've had different conversations, and I strongly believe that there's a lot of people out there that if they really knew, if they could get the information, if they could get a hold of this information, they would support us more. They would understand. They would stop calling us sore losers.
Right. Do you think the media has something to do with that? Like the way they portray the news and stuff here?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of it has to do with that, too. There's a lot. In fact, a few months ago, I found a video on YouTube that was saying basically that Obama was trying to tell illegal people to vote. And what they did is they took different clips from an interview that Obama did and added them together and made it sound like he was telling illegal people to go vote.
Right.
So then through that video, I found another one that had to do with the speech in Germany where they were saying that he encouraged protesters to basically riot.
Wow.
And they did the same thing. They took the little pieces of the video. So I even emailed the White House and I sent the videos and the original ones and posted it everywhere because that's exactly how people get manipulated. And
right.
That's why so many people hate Obama.
And that's where that critical thinking piece comes in, right? That's when people got to start thinking about don't just take whatever the media gives you. Go out there and find different sources, correct? You got to find different sources and you got to verify it on your own. You know?
Exactly, and not just repeat information or share things without reading them first. Because, for example, what happened with Starbucks went and said that, and they were talking about jobs that were outside the country, not in the U.S.
Right.
You know, Starbucks has stores in many different
everywhere.
Countries.
Yeah.
And people were already saying, "Oh, I'm not gonna go there anymore," and all this stuff. They could have given those jobs to people here. It's like. People.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aiden. Once again, you guys can find the video on Aiden Vargas' YouTube page. It's called Thank You, Trump Supporters. Thank you, Aiden. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good day, Aiden. We have another caller online. Keyonce, how you doing?
His dad not being there for him and stuff, you know, You know, I'm out here doing this for a family. You know, I'm a local artist here. I'm coming out of Vancouver, Washington, Tate Gunn and V-Dub. Come check out my music, all this. You know, I'm coming up. You know, I'm doing this for my family and stuff. Having a father there.
Right. And so you got one. You say you're becoming a father?
I'm a underground rapper coming up. You know,
okay.
He's doing it for his family with no father.
Rapper just under a year.
Okay.
And yeah, you know.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Keyonce. Okay. So, Keyonce, can you please call us back? The phone line is kind of breaking up. We'd like to carry on this conversation with you. So back to talking to Nick Dizzy. You know, I think with me and my father, I still have him around with me. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have that role model. And he who's, you know, like, it's like having a safety net, you know, knowing that you're going to take that leap of faith. But as soon as you take that jump, you know that if you fail, there's going to be somebody there to catch you, you know, and I think that's what helped me come this far, you know, and I have so much respect for you for pushing through all these obstacles that you're faced with day in and day out, you know, and doing it all with the support of a single mother and your grandparents who are such great people, you know?
Yeah.
Once again, Keyonce, please call us back. We'd like to hear from you. You know, maybe hopefully someday we can play your music out here. So Nick, tell me what kind of art do you enjoy looking at? Like what kind of art? What kind of artistic outlet do you enjoy?
Graffiti in a way that the
certain letters, you know, they have bubble letters and they have different, you know, all different types of graffiti. And so mm-hmm. I think when someone could really take that and make like words or a whole sense, you know, that's really cool to me.
Okay. So we got Keon. He's back online. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing once again?
We're doing good. Sorry, we lost the signal with you earlier. So you were telling us that you are a underground rapper from Vancouver, Washington, correct?
Yeah, that I am.
Okay, so
V-dub, I'm up.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your journey, about your music.
So a little bit about my journey. You know, I started off, you know, in a system at a young age, 14 years old, getting into trouble, stealing my mom's car, you know, committing robberies and doing all this. And, you know, I didn't have a father to put me in the right direction. And, you know, I kind of relate to Nick's story. You know, he kind of brought me in a little bit of tears right there. And then, because I was understanding the same story that he was going through. And, you know, that's been my bro for the longest. You know, he's helping me come up in my music. He's helping me, you know, just get back up on my feet. You know, I'm mainly just doing this music industry. Just, you know, I didn't have no father to put me in the right direction. And this is just what makes me happy, what makes me, you know,
yeah,
get back up.
It's your passion.
Yeah, I have so much respect for you too. You know, it's a hard path to do alone. You know, you have to have somebody got to guide you through it, but y'all figuring it out on your own. And there are a lot of many people that I interact with, many youth that I work with day in and day out, who go through the same stuff as you two, you know?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How do you think your journey has shaped you and prepared you for this, for becoming a rapper and for the road ahead?
Well, for the road ahead, you know, I got my mindset on, you know, on the bigger picture of coming up as me just being 18 years old out of Vancouver, Washington. You know, I've been on the struggle. You know, I barely got out of incarceration, you know, did some time for some activities that I did. And right. You know, I'm looking back on it like, you know, what were you thinking, Keontae? And, you know, I'm just trying to make my mom proud, you know, trying to make my family proud.
Right.
Show some love towards Vancouver.
Right. And I think there's a lot of growth in your experience, you know. I don't think you should look at yourself as, you know, as a you shouldn't look down upon yourself. You know, I think that was what was for you. That was your path. And, you know, I think that made you the man you are today. You know, you should never doubt yourself. You live in a system where prison has become, you know, a business. And instead of helping our young, you know, people succeed, they rather throw you in the jail cell and let, you know, the game teach you, you know. So
right.
So I genuinely believe that you are capable of pursuing your dreams, and you already are on the right path towards them, you know.
Right. I just want to shout my mama out. I just want to shout everybody out. You know, I love you guys. You know, shout out to big bro Nick, you know, doing this all for y'all, because I show love to everybody, you know. My heart goes out to everybody. Want to shout out to my mom, shout out to my sis. You know, I love you guys. Stay up.
All right. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate hearing from you. And, you know, you are more than welcome to. Do you have a way to connect with Nick?
I was going to say this towards the end. We're going to have one of his songs on our website. And we'll give you guys a website to check it out and everything with a bio.
Okay, yeah, that's perfect. And, you know, and if you can make it out here next on the 1st of March, man, we would love to have you on our show.
Yep, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for all you guys' time and all you guys' effort. I mean, you know, wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for you guys.
Yeah, definitely, man. Looking forward to see you in person, man.
All right, appreciate it. Take care, guys.
All right. So, Nick Dizzy, it looks like you're out there impacting people, man. I'm really happy to hear that, you know?
Yeah, I'm gonna support people to any way that I can from the city. Like, I don't just want to be the person that if I do something, I just left everyone behind me. I want to see everybody make it, regardless of if I hang out with you every day or don't ever see you.
Right, right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple on me. I don't wanna be your homie. I
had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. God, I don't wanna be your homie. All I wanna do is count commas. I had to make a couple bands for the come up. Got kicked out the house, I had no option. I was going through it with my mama. Juggin' and finessin', had to play it raw. Smoke, dodging feds, cause my head hard. When I dropped out, I said, fuck all of y'all. Imagine pulling up to your school in the best car. I was born in 94, I got the tattoo. I just took it, that's what that cash do. If you went from broke to rich quick, you would brag too. I'm sorry I finessed you, watch your money, but I had to. Started out with nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple n****s on me. I don't wanna be your homie. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. God, I don't wanna be your homie. Ha 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 ha. You mad or nah? Don't want. Them things go ra ra ra. These stocks don't get no love. My pockets is on large. I'm swimming in the guap. I got gold all on my watch. My bell costs one of your checks. I'm throwing all this money like bread. I know it make it girls so. I know they're upset. I'm winning, you lose. That's your fault, should never snooze. You broke, never make no moves. I be making movies, no Tom Cruise. Started out with nothing, I was hungry. Now I got a couple n****s on me. I don't wanna be your homie. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my lonely. I had to make a couple bands by my
lonely. Welcome back. So Nick Dizzy here said he had some questions for me, and he didn't want to tell me what those questions were. So I'm gonna hand this mic over to him.
So with the band going on and all that, you know, why do I say BS going on? How do you feel you're gonna be targeted, or that's gonna affect you?
Me personally?
Yeah.
So for the listeners, if you didn't know, I moved to the United States from Yemen in 2001, and Nick over here is trying not to laugh so hard at me. But so basically, I think how I feel about this ban, I definitely don't like it at all. I think that's how division is created. I think that's how, you know, people in power are using fear to exploit normal people, you know, just like regular citizens of their country, and to divide us. And so me personally, I have no fear for myself. You know, I'm a young man, I'm capable. I speak a few languages, I'm educated, so I think I'll be okay. But my fear is more for those who can't defend themselves, for the little children, for, you know, my family, my parents, who are, you know, getting older day by day. So, you know, to me, like if I was to be deported today, or to be, you know, to be sent, to be kicked out of the country, for example, I don't know what would happen. I really don't have any backup plan or anything like that. But I don't fear that either. You know, I think that what's in my path is what's in my path, and I think I've made it so far. So, you know, I should be okay. But at the same time, you know, like I said, I just worry about the well-beings of other. You know, the idea that, you know, we got, number one, businessmen running the country. You know, the business and politics, they should be two separate things, because once you add money into politics, then that's where corruption appears, you know? A lot of countries suffer from corruption, and we see what that outcome is, right? And just like Candace Parker said, those who don't pay attention to history are deemed to repeat it. Therefore, you know, if you think about back to the Roman empires and how corruption started there, or if you look at certain countries today and look at their leaders and think about how the value of money has become more important than the value of humanity, then that's where my fear comes. You know, like you said earlier, Nick, you can throw a label on people and dehumanize them, and that makes it easier for people to mistreat them. And I think that's where to me, that's where the scary part is. You already hear so many negative connotations about people get thrown around, and you already hear about, you know, so many racial slurs being used. And I guess maybe we have more access than we did before nowadays with the media that we are allowed to access. But in the grand scheme of things, I think that, you know, we just got to rely on our humanity and remember, you know, or just remember the good and remember to see the good in each other rather than to just believe everything that we hear, you know?
Honestly, you know, we got an attic and crawl space under the house, so we got you. Yeah, and we're not going to let you go anywhere.
I appreciate it, man. You know.
Another question is, if you would have stayed in Yemen, how do you think your life would have played out?
Now, that's a hard question, you know. I always think about that question, you know. A lot of the times, every New Year's Eve, I'm not really like that big of a partier or goer outer. You know, I like to kind of take a seat back and to think, to reflect on the year and the growth, you know? So a lot of the times I ask myself that same question. And one of those, you know, and I guess my thing is about that. I am still in contact with a lot of my friends from childhood in Yemen, and to hear that, you know, they're being bombarded, that, you know, they have no access to, you know, to jobs like we do here. They don't have access to a lot of the stuff that I have access to. It always makes me wonder, like, would I have chosen this path, like working with youth and empowering others? Would I have, you know, ended up being just like somebody in the street, or would I cannot tell, but I know that there is high poverty levels in Yemen, and you know, I just think that it's kind of sad to say, but I don't think I would have had the same opportunities that I've had here, you know, and so with that being said, life there was great, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed my childhood. You know, I enjoyed the way my friends treated me, and the beauty of, you know, the just the culture there, and the music and the food. Ah, the food was amazing. But at the same time, I think that I'm able to do more here now, you know? But my dream is to go back one day and then, you know, and try to do that there with kids there, with youth there, and you know, to build community centers and then to revamp the cities there and in my own country in Eritrea as well. It's just a matter of a time, I guess. That's the only way we'll be able to tell. And speaking of time, it looks like we are coming to an end. So Nick Dizzy, why don't you go ahead and take us home.
This was Keeping It Real with Aron and Nick Dizzy. Tune in on March 1st,
buddy.
It's actually March 1st again. It'll be our next show.
It's going to be 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Do not sleep on us.
That's right. We look forward to hearing from y'all.
Keeping it real.
Of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. proletarians and wayward sons, with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the back, all alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbled in rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind, sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
This is Love Jones, producer of the World Famous Confessional. This year, Contessa de la Luna brings you a real bona fide Wild West jamboree and variety show. We've got live performances by Contessa de la Luna and Courtney Vondrail from Three Leg Torso, plus audience lasso contests, sock puppet theater, surprise fun box drawing, many other prizes. We've got performances by the Sea Charms and a selfie booth with Contessa de la Luna. We've got plenty of surprises and fun in store, so mark your calendars Thursday, February 9th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds benefit KBOO, your community radio station. Tickets are available now online at ContessaWestern.brownpaper.com.